Good morning, everybody. So I will talk to you today about some work we do in my lab on insects. I'm actually an entomologist and really wanted to attend this conference. So what we do is work on fruit insects. So I'll talk to you about one of the big insects that we're working on, and you probably have heard of it if you're working in grapes. It's called spotted wing Drosophila. And being from Wisconsin and the Midwest, we have different varieties of grapes. We have cold hardy grapes, and we wanted to test the susceptibility of these grapes to our little fly here, spotted wing Drosophila. So I'll give you a little bit of background. There's research that has been done on Vitis vinifera, as we all know. A lot of work done there with and without our fly. And then in the Midwest, we have varieties that are different, that are either hybrids of vinifera and those different species, Labrusca or Riparia, or we have those that are true Labrusca or Riparia that are grown there. So we were really interested in seeing how those cold climate varieties that have been bred to sustain the cold temperatures would perform with those flies. So this is a fly. This is a tiny Drosophila fly, so same than what you have in your kitchen going to your ripe bananas. But this one is an invasive species. It's called Drosophila suzukii. It's a fly that on the left-hand side up there, I don't know if you can see. Yeah. So here this is the males. They have a spot on each wing, hence the name spotted wing Drosophila. The female is the one that obviously causes the damage. Doesn't have the wings. The spots on the wings, the only way you can identify it is by its ovipositor, its eggling structure, which is down here. And you have a close-up here. And you can see there's two rows of very sharp teeth right there. And so that allows this female to lay its eggs in what are ripening and ripe fruit, as opposed to rotting or damaged fruit that you would see with other Drosophila. So here on the right-hand side, you have a female cutting with those saws the skin of the ripe fruit and inserting eggs in there. Once they do that, the larvae inside feed on the fruit, and the fruit turns mushy very quickly within a couple days, and it's a total loss. It was first detected here in Hawaii in the 1980s and in California on the continental U.S. in 2008. Since then, it's been spreading throughout the entire country. So we have them in British Columbia or all of Canada pretty much now. We have them over there. We have them in South America. I don't know if I... No, I removed the map for the whole world. But it's spreading everywhere. It's from Eastern Asia originally, but it's pretty much everywhere now. Not necessarily in every country, but in every continent. So very quick spread, probably due to trades. The crop losses have been estimated, and these numbers are a little old, a couple years old now, but $720 million annually. And on the management that the growers have to apply, about $130 to $170 million annually. So it's very expensive and very time-consuming to manage this pest. Another thing that's really interesting about this insect is it's very polyphagous. It will go on very different type of plants. At higher risk, you have those berries that you see on the left-hand side. Those are the most, raspberries and blackberries are really the most affected. Moderate risk, we have grapes. We have other crops there that are present. And then we have a lot of alternate hosts. So those that would be found in your natural woodlands, anywhere around, on farm edges, everywhere. So you pretty much, if you have a small fruit that have a thin skin, you're going to have a larva in there during the season at some point. So a very, very widespread fly. And this is the kind of damage you would see on a blueberry, on a raspberry in the middle up here, on a strawberry. Strawberry will mold very fast as they get infested with this insect. On grapes up here and on cherries here. So really very devastating for a grower. The management practices, I won't go into that, but involve a lot of cultural controls where people have to pick pretty much every day or every other day actually now in order to remove those ripening fruit. You have a lot of sanitation to do. If there are any fruit that's infested or that's starting to, the skin starts to crack, you want to be removing that. If they drop to the ground, you have to clean that up. Otherwise, the flies will continue to develop and build up the population. And really, the main one is chemical control. People are advised to, as soon as they detect the first fly and the fruit turns color, it becomes susceptible. First fly is detected, you're going to spray insecticides every 5 to 7 days until you're done with harvest. So you can imagine that the cost for managing this pest is tremendous for growers. And the labor is also extremely consuming if you're talking about cultural controls. So going back to our different species here, with vinifera, there has been some research, and it's been a little bit conflicting in what people are finding. But what we're seeing is that field infestation happens for vinifera pretty much everywhere, with more or less, and it seems to depend on varieties a lot too. Status is unclear because, as a pest, because we don't really know, and that's what led us to do this research. We don't really know which varieties are really susceptible and which are not. But the management, when we started this research a couple years ago now, was happening. The growers are really worried. Grape is considered susceptible, so they would manage. They would spray insecticides because they would have the flies around. And one research had been done back then on the susceptibility of vinifera in the lab and showing low susceptibility, but when you have a tolerance of zero insects in fruit, low susceptibility still involves management practices. But nothing had been done on those cold climate varieties that we have up in the Midwest. So this is what we wanted to test. Our growers were advised, when I started my job back in 2012, we were advising them to spray insecticide because the flies were there. So really we wanted to see, are they actually susceptible, and are there differences amongst the varieties that the growers are growing? And that's the adult presence. You could have flies, but you could have no larvae in the fruit. And one of the big thing, and unfortunately I don't have the data for that, is the thickness of the skin of the fruit could have an impact, because if they're using that ovipositor, those saws, if it's too thick, they might not be able to cut the skin of the fruit and lay their eggs there. So we really wanted to look at that. And to do this, this is a two-part study. We did first a field experiment to really look at, and that's what I'm talking about here, adult and larval monitoring in six vineyards, and at seven vineyards, and with six different varieties that we were testing. And then after that, I'll talk about lab assays to really see, are they able to do that if we don't give them any choice? If that's all they can do is lay eggs in those fruit, are they going to be able to do it? So I'll present the data quickly on the adult trap catches. So you have down here on the x-axis, you have the different varieties that we looked at: Frontenac, Marshall Foch, Marquette, La Crescent, St. Croix, and Edelweiss. And then here, it's the mean number of adults. So this is combining males and females per week that we were trapping. And so you can see that we have significant differences between the varieties, where Edelweiss here caught more flies, adult flies, than the other varieties here, and similar to Frontenac, which was intermediate between the other varieties. So we do have those flies, and you can see the average is about, let's say, 70 flies per trap per week. That's pretty high already. You're catching a lot of flies in those vineyards. We actually catch a lot more in raspberries. We're at several thousand. So this is the same data up on top here for the adult trap catches, and then below it's the data for what we did is every other week we went and sampled fruit, and then we do what's called the salt flotation assay, where you just crack the skin of the fruit, and then you just look at the larvae present in there. And we have very, very low. We have about 2 or 3 larvae per kilogram of fruit. So very low larval infestation. Okay, I'm going to have to go faster. So what you have is we found spotted-wing Drosophila in all of the samples that we had larvae. We're all spotted-wing, but only 15% of our samples. Low abundance of larvae within the grapes, about 4 larvae per pound, as opposed to what we find in raspberry, which is 200 larvae per pound. It's not correlated to adult trap catches, or there's no difference amongst varieties, and more prevalent near harvest. So in this case, I'll go quickly through this, but we did lab assays. We put the flies on grapes, the different varieties. Unfortunately, we didn't have Edelweiss. And then we look whether or not the flies are able to lay eggs. So we look at eggs, larvae, adult emergence and then how long it took them to emerge. And then we also looked at some fruit characteristics. So what we found when we look at the different varieties here on the x-axis, this is for egg that are laid in the grapes. So this is a no-choice test. Again, they don't have a choice. They only have one of those varieties in the cups. Number of eggs laid per gram of fruit. Everything is standardized by gram of fruit. And we have, what we did is we had two kind of treatments for each of those varieties. Either the grape was intact with the stem still attached, or the stem was still attached, but we cracked the skin of the fruit to see if they're able to lay eggs once the skin is cracked. And what you have is in green, the bars in green are undamaged, and then the bars in blue are damaged, so we cracked the skin of the fruit. On the number of eggs laid, we have significant differences that you can see on almost all the varieties, that's the stars, between damaged and undamaged. So if they're damaged, there are more eggs that are laid. And then no real differences between the different varieties. On the number of larvae, you don't see the undamaged bars. You can see one here showing up a little bit. We found no larvae in those that were undamaged. So if the fruit was intact with the stem still attached, we didn't, and that's in the lab, they didn't have a choice, they did not lay eggs or have larvae in those fruit. But if the fruit is damaged, then we have larvae that are found when we do our test. On the right-hand side, this is raspberry. We use raspberry as our positive control in all of our experiments because we know they readily infest them, and the larvae will thrive in those raspberries. So you can see here that we have maybe some tendencies of St. Croix having fewer larvae per gram of fruit, but overall, it's not really significant, although the p-value is pretty low. So there might be some differences, but again, this is on damaged fruit. Here we look at the number of adults that emerged, and we have a significant difference. Raspberries is significantly different, pretty much just from La Crescent, Marshall, Foch. We see undamaged have some adults that emerged. We consider those to be kind of fluke. We don't really know how that happened. We think that maybe the stem was not well attached or something happened to the fruit. So maybe two flies that emerged out of those cups. So really very few. But overall, what it's telling us is there's no significant striking differences amongst the varieties. If they're damaged, you have flies that emerge. If they're undamaged, you don't have that. And some differences with raspberries, but not striking again with raspberries. What's significantly different is the time it took them to develop to adult. So we look at how many days it took them to get to adulthood, and with raspberries, it's significantly lower than it is for any of the other varieties, with differences amongst the varieties a little bit, but really, it's on this crop, it will take them longer to make it to adulthood. What we should have done is really weigh those adults to see if there were differences in the size of those adults, but we did not do that, unfortunately. We also looked at pH and Brix values to see if they were correlated with the number of larvae that we found, and we did not see any significant difference between the varieties. So neither pH nor sugar content had any impact on larval infestation. So to sum up, what we found is the flies were detected in every single vineyard we sampled. So the flies are there. The larvae are actually at extremely low levels. So in the field, it's hard to tell, but most likely the fruit is compromised in some way. And then they're readily available for the flies to lay eggs in. But what we are recommending to our growers now, what we're telling them is that those Calder Hardy grapes are pretty much resistant to spotted wing. It's probably, but we don't have any data for that, but that's our hypothesis, linked to skin thickness, because if the skin is cracked, they can go in there. But we don't have any data to really back that up, but that's what we're thinking is happening. So what we tell growers now is don't use this management practice of as soon as you detect a fly, you apply your management practices. We tell them to sample for fruit. Look for larvae in the fruit. If you have larvae, yes, you probably need to do something. Maybe there's some shattering that's happening or it rained and the skin is compromised in some way and then the flies get in. But otherwise, seeing flies is not the way to go for those growers. And with that, are my acknowledgments, and thank you, everybody.